Picture a Saturday morning. The weather looks okay from your kitchen window. You check a couple of apps on your phone. The skies look passable. The winds look manageable. And you think, yeah, this is doable. You grab your flight bag and head to the airport. That sequence right there is where a lot of accidents begin. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today, we are going to walk through a real complete weather briefing. Not the abbreviated version, not the phone app version, the one that actually tells you what you need to know before you ever start the engine. Before we get into it, a quick word to our sponsors, shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private Pilot Instrument Commercial. They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. The official source for your pre-flight weather briefing is the Aviation Weather Center, which you can reach directly through aviationweather.gov or through one of the flight service briefing options, including calling flight service directly at 1-800-WX-BRIEF, which is 1-800-992-7433. You can also use approved weather apps that pull from National Weather Service products. The point is, there is a difference between checking the weather and getting a briefing. That difference has a name in the Federal Aviation Regulations, or FARs. FAR 91.103 requires that before any flight, the pilot in command shall become familiar with all available information concerning that flight. Weather is not optional. It is a regulatory requirement. So, what does a standard weather briefing actually look like? When you call flight service or use a service like Leidos Flight Service Online, you request a standard briefing. You give them your aircraft identification, aircraft type, your departure airport, route, destination, altitude you plan to cruise, estimated departure time, and estimated time en route. They are not guessing at what you need. You give them the picture and they fill it in. The briefing has a structure. And here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. The structure exists for a reason. There is an order to this information, and that order mirrors the priority in which the information matters to your safety. The first thing you get is adverse conditions. That is your headline. If there is something significant, something that could flat out stop your flight before it starts, it comes first. SIGMETS, AIRMETS, AIRMETS, active convective activity, icing at your planned altitude, significant turbulence reports. This is the briefer saying, here are the things you need to know before I tell you anything else. SIGMETS are significant meteorological information advisories. They apply to all aircraft and cover severe icing, severe or extreme turbulence, widespread dust storms or sandstorms lowering visibility below 3 miles, volcanic ash, and tropical cyclones. Convective SIGMETS are specifically for thunderstorm-related hazards. If there is a SIGMET active along your route, that is not background noise. That is the briefing telling you there is a serious hazard. AIRMETS, or Airmen's Meteorological Information Advisories, apply more specifically to general aviation and smaller aircraft. There are three types. AIRMET Sierra covers instrument flight rules, conditions, and mountain obscuration. AIRMET Tango is moderate turbulence, sustained surface winds greater than 30 knots, and low-level wind shear. AIRMET Zulu is moderate icing and freezing levels. These come in the G-AIRMET format now on the Aviation Weather Center, which gives you a polygon you can actually look at on a map and say, that is directly over my route, at my altitude. That matters. After adverse conditions, the briefing gives you the synoptic picture. Where are the pressure systems? Where is the frontal activity? This is the 30,000-foot view of what is driving the weather today. Students often tune this part out because it feels abstract. Do not tune it out. Understanding where a low-pressure system is sitting and where a front is moving helps you understand why the conditions at your destination are what they are. It gives context to every individual report that follows. Then you get current conditions. This is where the METARs come in. The METAR, or Meteorological Aerodrome Report, is the observation at a specific airport at a specific time. It tells you sky condition, visibility, temperature, and dew point, altimeter setting, wind direction and speed, and any significant weather phenomena. When you are reading a METAR, the wind is always in degrees magnetic, and the altimeter setting is in inches of mercury. Here is where students get tripped up. They look at the METAR for their departure airport and stop there. You need the METARs for your route, for your destination, and for your alternates. Weather does not care where you started, it cares where you're going. Dew point spread is worth a specific mention. When the temperature and dew point are within 2 or 3 degrees Celsius of each other, you are close to the dew point, and fog or low clouds can form quickly. On a morning briefing, especially, watch that spread. It can close fast as temperatures drop. Next comes the forecast data. The Terminal Aerodrome Forecast, or TAF, is the forecast for conditions at a specific airport, issued every 6 hours, and covers a window that extends out 24 or 30 hours, depending on the airport. The TAF uses change groups to tell you when conditions are expected to shift. FM means from, meaning a definite change at that time. Tempo means temporary fluctuations expected to last less than 60 minutes at a time. BECMG means becoming, a gradual change expected to complete within the period specified. Prob means probability, usually prob 30 or prob 40, telling you there is a 30 or 40% probability of a condition occurring. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. Tempo and prob are where pilots get lulled. A prob 30 group feels easy to dismiss. 30%, that is less than even odds, right? But if that 30% is thunderstorms or visibility below a mile, that is not something you dismiss. That is something you plan around. The examiner is looking for a pilot who reads the whole TAF, not just the top line conditions. After forecasts, you get winds aloft. These are issued twice a day and give you forecast winds at specific altitude levels for specific stations. They are listed as a 4- or 6-digit group. The first 2 digits are wind direction in degrees true. The next 2 are wind speed in knots. If the group is 900, that means winds are calm. If the speed exceeds 99 knots, there's a special code for that too. Winds aloft serve 2 purposes. First, they help you calculate your true airspeed heading and ground speed for cruise. Second, they tell you something about the atmosphere. Winds increasing significantly with altitude can suggest wind shear. Wind directions shifting dramatically between layers can tell you something about frontal passage or atmospheric instability. Do not just use winds aloft to plug numbers into your E6B. Read what they are telling you. After winds aloft comes notices to air missions or NOTAMs. This is where students consistently fall short, and it is a checkride vulnerability. A NOTAM can close an airport, take an evade offline, activate temporary flight restrictions, or tell you the runway lights are out. None of that shows up on a weather app. You have to check NOTAMs separately and specifically. The National NOTAM system is at notams.faa.gov, and there is also the FAA's official NOTAM search available through the Aviation Weather Center portal. Here is a real scenario. A student plans a cross-country to an uncontrolled airport. They check the weather carefully. Winds are fine, ceilings are fine, visibility is fine. They get there and find the runway is closed for pavement work. It was in the NOTAM. They did not check. Now they either divert, which they were not prepared for, or they do something worse. NOTAMs are not optional homework. They are part of the briefing. After NOTAMs, you get the Automated Terminal Information Service, or ATIS, if it is relevant to your departure or destination. The ATIS gives you current airport conditions, active runways, and approach information. Get the current ATIS identifier before you call ground or clearance and read it back. The controller is listening for that letter. It tells them you have the current information. Now, let me talk about something that the formal briefing structure does not always cover explicitly, but that you should be building into your weather picture on every flight. That is pilot reports, or PIREPs. A PIREP is real-time information from a pilot who just flew through the airspace. It will tell you whether that forecast icing level is actually where the TAF said it would be. It will tell you whether that cloud layer is broken at 4,000 or overcast at 2,000. It will tell you whether there is moderate chop at 8,000, even though the AirMet says only light turbulence. PIREPs are the ground truth. When you see a PIREP that contradicts your forecast, believe the PIREP. The forecast is a best estimate. The PIREP is an observation, and please file your own PIREPs when you fly. This is something pilots talk about doing and rarely actually do. When you encounter icing, turbulence, or conditions that differ significantly from the forecast, call Flight Watch, which is now handled through Flight Service on 122.2, or use your device to submit a PIREP through an approved app. The next pilot to fly that route in the next hour is relying on that information. Let me bring all of this together into a practical checklist you can use on your next pre-flight briefing. Start with the adverse conditions. Read those first and decide whether there is a showstopper before you invest another 40 minutes in the briefing. Get your synopsis so you understand what is driving today's weather. Pull the current METARs for departure, route, and destination. Understand the dew point spread. Read your TAFs carefully, including every change group, and pay special attention to tempo and prob groups. Check winds aloft not just for ground speed math, but for what the atmosphere is telling you. Check NOTAMs for every airport and the airspace along your route. Pull any current PIREPs for your altitude and route. Then, and this is the part most pilots skip, make a go or no-go decision before you walk to the airplane. The go or no-go decision is not made at the runway hold short line. It is not made on the downwind leg when you see the ceilings dropping. It is made at your desk or at the FBO counter before you walk to the ramp, while you still have every option available to you. That is what a real weather briefing is for. It gives you the information you need to make that decision while the decision is still easy to make. One more thing, if you are a student, get in the habit of requesting a standard briefing from flight service at least a few times during your training, even for local flights. Not because you need it for a local flight, but because you need to be comfortable with the format and the vocabulary before you're doing a real cross-country with actual weather and real stakes. Call 1-800-9927-433 and tell them you are a student pilot requesting a standard briefing. They are helpful. That is the job. My information today draws on the FAA's Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, the Aviation Weather Center at aviationweather.gov, and the FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual. Those are your primary sources, and they are all free. More at radiohanger.com. Blue skies and good briefings out there. I'm Pattern. See you next time.